Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Mike, and we are in studio live together, Mike and Linda Sasso.
Hello.
And we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. We're back on track with the series of marriage, divorce, and remarriage.
Woohoo! And, how fun!
Well, you know, we're discovering, as if we didn't know this, that the study of marriage itself is very enriching. It's very it's sobering, realizing how important marriage is to God. It's encouraging and inspirational. But when you start talking about divorce and the grounds for divorce, unbiblical grounds for divorce, biblical grounds for divorce, and then eventually we'll get into biblical and non-biblical grounds for remarriage, that gets the hair in the back of people's necks to stand up.
Yeah.
Because there's people who've already been there, done that, and sometimes they've done it wrong. And so we end up maybe we don't want to step on toes, but we want to stay true to the scripture. We want to hold course of what Jesus taught, what Paul taught, what especially the New Testament. We know that there are a lot of laws in the Old Testament that were more cultural than eternal, but definitely when you see something taught by Jesus and the apostles, you want to hold to it. So if you are interested in the study of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, maybe you know somebody who's contemplating a divorce, contemplating a remarriage, a second or third marriage, you might want to let them know. Give them a call. Let them know to tune in, because we're going to very carefully go through this study that, matter of fact, I remind you, it's a paper that I wrote on marriage, divorce, and remarriage about 10 plus years ago. And so we're just kind of rehashing it, refining it, and talking through it together, me and Linda, and we've had guest speakers, and we'll probably in the future have a few more guest speakers to help us hammer out the pros and cons of some of this. And of course, we could have callers and people texting in information. So Linda's going to tell you how you could participate, whether by call or by text. So catch her off guard.
You caught me writing.
She's writing things down, an idea down.
That's okay. I have a few things that I do want to say about this. And I'm getting notes down so that I remember what it is I feel like the Lord's put on my heart. Mm-hmm. But if you want to call and talk to us, please, we would love to talk to you. The number to be live on the radio is 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If you can't handle the thought of talking live on the radio, you can always send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-3790. 2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, you can go ahead and put a comment. We keep an eye on those too. Now, one of the things I wanted to say is we have always wanted, and we told you, what does the Bible say about your everyday life? Okay. We want to stay true to what the Bible says, to what the scriptures say. Sometimes that is not politically correct. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Christians aren't going to like when we point out what's being said. But the scriptures we're going through, a lot of them we've been going through, these were the words of Jesus. So we have to look at, we have to look at what was he telling us. I want to know what Jesus has to say about this topic, okay?
Right.
Let me tell you, in the church, I've heard it said, I do not have it proven, so don't quote me, even though I'm quoting somebody else, okay, is that the divorce rate is no different inside the church or outside the church. I would hate to think that's true, but if that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. What we're teaching about marriage, divorce, and remarriage is the Lord says some really strong things. Really, really strong things that can be hard, and people can say, no, it can't mean that, but maybe it does. So we need to be careful.
Right.
So if you are a Christian and you are considering divorce, you know what? We want you to feel the full brunt of the severity of the scripture of what Jesus is saying. Because the rate is the same, supposedly, inside the church and outside the church, that means Christians are not taking the words of Jesus seriously.
That's right.
If you are in a place and you do not have biblical grounds for a divorce, you're just not feeling it anymore, well, then do something to get the feeling back, is what I have to say. And to you, you know what? Maybe you need to hear and receive the harshness of the scriptures and what Jesus is saying. You made a vow before God that you can't just throw away so quickly, okay? So, Christian, if you're there considering divorce and you're tuned in, it means the Lord wants you to hear a word from Him, okay? Now, for those of you who are already divorced, divorced and remarried, we want to impart grace to you, okay? You don't have a decision in front of you to make. You have already made that decision. And we know the Lord forgives, the Lord can restore. But let me tell you, we have had several comments off the air from people that we are speaking directly to them, and especially how much of your life this cost, the devastation that a divorce does to your life, okay? The skepticism of going into a second, third marriage that you don't commit as much of yourself because you've already been burned once. Mm. You've got your walls up. Oh, believer, we want to impart grace to you. The Lord can restore and use where you are right this moment, okay? But you Christians that you're considering without a biblical foundation for this, hey, we really want you to hear the severity of this. Now, the other thing, you keep moving that away from me. The other thing I want to bring up that the Lord really hit my heart with is we have not been through a divorce. Our parents have not divorced. We have not really been touched by divorce. So in a way, we can only tell you what the Bible says because we haven't been there, okay? And I understand that. And I understand that there is horrible, horrible pain with a divorce, at least for one person in there usually, if not for both, if not for children, extended family, and on it goes, that there are scars that are left. And we understand that, okay? I understand that from having lost a child. People can't tell me about losing a child and say they understand unless they've lost a child. Somebody cannot talk about divorce and the pain and suffering divorce causes unless they've been through one. I can only sympathize with you. I cannot empathize with you. But we do understand that divorce in its own way is a form of death. It is a death of the dreams and the hopes that you had, that perfect marriage, that growing old together in a rocking chair on the porch with a white picket fence is now all gone. We understand that part of it, okay? We wanted to grow old with our daughter. So we understand the pain you feel. And our hearts break for you. And there is hope if you're in that situation, okay? So as we go through the scriptures, if you need to hear these words that are harsh from the Lord, please receive them. Please open your heart. If you're one hurting, don't feel like we're beating on you because we really aren't. So that's what I wanted to say today. That's what was on my heart.
All right. Well, very good, Lynn. Thanks. Listen, as Linda was sharing, Tina Ortiz posted some statistics from the, as it focused on the family, about the divorce rate in the church. And it seems to me the church's divorce rate is not as high as the world. It's good to clarify that.
But that would be great.
Yeah. Let me just read one short paragraph from it that I think says a lot. Professor Bradley Wright, a sociologist at the University of Connecticut, explains from his analysis of people who identify as Christians but rarely attend church that 60% of these have been divorced. Of those who attend church regularly, 38% have been divorced. I would say that, you know, it's not a matter of the title that you claim, but it's how much you practice your religion.
Yeah.
You know, how much you actually are participating. Now, this is just a little, I just pulled this out. I didn't read the whole article, but I glanced through it, and it seems that those who are faithful to what they believe and practice their faith are less likely to divorce than those who don't practice their faith. They say they're Christian, but they don't go to church. I guess along with that would probably mean they don't read their Bible. They don't pray as much. I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental. But I could confidently say that the more you practice your faith, the more you read your Bible and make it your aim to adhere to it, the less likely you are to be divorced or live in any kind of sin. Okay. So that's something to keep in mind here. Now,
one of the posts that we're having up here is divorce isn't just a separation. It's death of a marriage.
Mm,
and we got people that are agreeing with that one.
Right.
And it is, and it's a pain and it's a scar you will carry with you the rest of your life. Okay. And we understand that.
Right. Now, where we were a couple days ago is we were reviewing what the New Testament says about divorce. And we saw from a number of scriptures from Matthew 19, Mark 10, Luke 16, 1 Corinthians 7, that there's all kinds of prohibitions against divorce, that it wasn't just an Old Testament thing and Jesus gives grace, 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 you could do whatever you want. No, God feels strongly against divorce. As a matter of fact, we looked at in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, that the Lord himself says he hates divorce because it really is, the whole root of it is from evil, okay? So again, I'll say that we've said this before, we'll continue to say this, that God may hate divorce, but he doesn't hate divorced people.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
The reason why he would hate divorce is because it causes pain and hardship. It's destructive to the children, to the family connections. There's all kinds of relationships tied up within that marriage that get hurt and destroyed by this.
It's not the way he planned it.
Right.
God planned and invented marriage.
Right.
And it's not the way he planned it.
Right. And where we ended, I think, a couple days ago, because we did have a little break talking about the sowing clutch yesterday, is that in Jeremiah 3, and I'm not going to go back and read it, but God actually, you know, he always talked about Israel as if Israel was his wife. And more often than not, he spoke about Israel being his unfaithful wife. And in Jeremiah 3:8, God says, I gave her a certificate of divorce. that God actually says, you know what? Israel was my wife, but you know, she's been unfaithful and she's played the harlot, and so I'm divorcing her. Now, that should be a picture. Of course, there's all kinds of pictures. It should be a picture that we spiritually remain true to the Lord.
Yes.
But it's also a picture of there is a line drawn where if your spouse is being repeatedly unfaithful to you, that God himself says, I wrote Israel a certificate of divorce. And of course, later you see a mending of the relationship in the Old Testament. But it was ugly and it was bad. And I think if God can divorce Israel because of her unfaithfulness, then my friend, if you're being cheated on by your husband or wife, then you do have grounds for divorce.
Yes.
It's not wrong. I mean, some churches make it look like, you know, if you've divorced your husband or wife for any reason, then they make you feel like you're the rotten one. You know what? There's a time. Let me just put it this way. If your spouse is repeatedly unfaithful and committing adultery on you, leave the bum or bum-ess. Okay, really.
We did say that.
Yeah,
yes.
There is no way you should be lenient towards that kind of behavior, because the very vow of marriage is faithful and true from sickness and health, and richer for poorer, for better for worse, till death do us part. Okay, that is God's intention for marriage, and yet people don't always follow that. Now we're going to continue.
Isn't there something in there about keeping yourself to them alone, something
yes.
like that?
Yeah.
Now, help me with that. I haven't never done a marriage ceremony, perform one, but you have. You know the words.
Well,
so.
Now that is a vow. Now we don't
okay.
find necessarily the exact wording in Scripture, though. Of course, from Ephesians 5, since marriage is a picture of Christ's relationship with the church, is to be a relationship of permanence. And so the vows were taken from scriptural principles.
Yeah.
You won't find in the Bible, okay, what's the marriage vow supposed to say in the text?
Where's that scripture?
Yeah.
And it's not there.
But all of the vows within marriage are taken from scriptural principles and concepts, okay? Now, we're going to continue down my little outline that I put together, like I said, 10 plus years ago, and we're hammering out what should be the church's stand on divorce, and then eventually we'll get to remarriage. So right now there's a bunch of statements that I just need to read, and then eventually we'll get to more scripture references. As I read this, I invite my wife to give her input, but this is something, it's time to test. Do I still believe this? I wrote it maybe 12 years ago. Do I still believe this? Here's the next statement. The stance of the biblical Christian, then, is that divorce is never a desirable solution to a marriage conflict, and it is not to be acceptable or the norm among Christians, or normal among Christians. And yes, I still think that's what the scriptures say. And you know, really, folks, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter if I still agree with what I wrote. The fact is, when we put this paper together, me and I told you after I put it together, Jeff Brown from Grace for Divorce helped reword things and word things in a better way, because I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. That it shouldn't be that, do I still agree with my opinion? You know, it shouldn't be your opinion in the first place. Any pastor who's making a statement on divorce or any matter of life, it should be, what does the Bible say and what does God say about this? And so that's our stance, folks. What does the Bible say about divorce? Okay, let me continue reading. When divorce is clearly acceptable in the sight of God. So we're reviewing. We've already covered some of this. But number one is adultery. Jesus acknowledged the legitimacy of divorce in the case of sexual unfaithfulness. The scripture calls it fornication. It actually comes from the Greek word porneia. Does that sound familiar to you? I'm going to step out on a limb here and throw this out, that if you are actively involved in pornography, you're playing around with adulterous thoughts, okay? You may not be physically committing adultery on your spouse, but didn't Jesus say if you look at a woman to lust after her, you're committing adultery with her already in your heart? You know, Jesus said stuff like, you've heard thou shalt not kill, but I say to you that you shouldn't hate your brother or say raka or, you know, wish him dead. You know, I'm kind of embellishing a little bit. But in the same way, Jesus spoke against adultery and took it further. He said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Now, you could go on and on to, is that grounds for divorce or whatever? Let me just say, if you're active in pornography, it's adulterous, and you need to stop it right now, okay? You need to repent, and you need to just, it's funny, it sounds too shallow, stop it, you know? But I think that you can. You know, too many people think, oh, no, you can't help it. You need treatment. You need to go through this program. You need to go through our special program on how to stop pornography. I know there's all that stuff out there, but let me save you a whole lot of trouble. Turn to Jesus, repent from your sin, and ask the Lord to help you stop your porn habit, and he will. I've worked with a lot of people who've tried a lot of different things, and you know, it just comes to that R word, repentance, okay? So, all right, now, let me continue reading. This fornication, this porneia, means any type of sexual relationship outside of marriage, and it goes back to Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9. So, let me continue reading. This means that in the case of unrepentant sexual unfaithfulness, the betrayed spouse is free, in the eyes of God, to initiate a divorce. The unfaithful spouse has broken the marriage vows through adultery.
Can I ask you a question
here? Yes.
Okay. I have a question for you, because I bet there are going to be a lot of women out there wanting to ask this question. What if the husband has a porn addiction and he is not repentant? Is that grounds for divorce under adultery?
Oh, ooh, yeah, put me on the spot
one.
On live
yeah.
radio here, huh? Okay, well, now, this is my perspective from my understanding of Scripture, okay? I believe that that husband is in sin and he is committing adultery in his heart. I think that before you just go right to divorce, there should be other steps taken. I believe there should be consequences for a man who's committed adultery through pornography and the wife knows about it, because that's insulting to the wife. That's degrading to the wife. That's being unfaithful to the wife. And so I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with the wife saying, you know what? You get a choice. You could have that fake girl on your computer screen.
Who would have nothing to do with you if she really met you in real life.
Doesn't know you exist and wouldn't really want to date you anyway. Or you could have me. You take your choice, but you can't have both. Okay. Now, that's my advice to somebody. I would say primarily this applies to giving advice to a wife whose husband is active in pornography. I think that there's nothing wrong with that woman saying, choose. You could either have your porn or you could have me, but you can't have both. And I think that that wife has the right to say, until you turn from this pornography, I'm not going to be making myself available to you. Okay. Now, I see different people peeking in. As a matter of fact, I see a brother who's involved in marriage ministry. It's George. You know, I see that you're watching right now. If you want to call in and help us with this, maybe you've got some actual circumstances. How do you advise somebody? Because you've done a lot of marriage counseling. If a man is continually active in pornography, unrepentant, what measures should that wife take? And does she have the right to divorce him? Or how have you stood on this? You know, I'm going to try to bring my brother George in on this. I see him watching.
Hey, I have another question through text.
Wait, let me give you the number.
Okay.
The number here is area code 208-577.
377-3790.
I always give myself phone number.
Yes, you wanted to do
it's
that.
It's area code 208-377-3790. If you want to call into the station, we'd love to hear from you.
I just have a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You might always turn that camera.
No, because you always say don't.
And what if the wife knew about the porn addiction before they married?
Well, that doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right.
That's saying, what if the wife knew that the husband was sleeping with other women when they got engaged and he continued it, and then they got married and he continued it?
She should have known better, but it is done now.
Yeah, I mean, the woman made bad choices, you know, but I think even if somebody texted this in, then that means you know somebody, or maybe it's you, who is married to a man who just justifies pornography and doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. And now you want to know what to do. I think you could still draw a line in the sand. I think that, I think that there are, you know, the thing is, you don't run right to divorce. Okay. I've told you many times, divorce is like an amputation. You don't just go, well, my hand's been hurting me now for 3 weeks. I'm cutting it off. You don't do that. You try to save the hand, right? In the same way, you don't just throw the marriage away. You try to save the marriage. But sometimes you have to do some painful things. I've had bursitis in my shoulder. And ask Linda, I've got these rubber band things tied to the end of my bed, and I'm always doing arm exercises, and sometimes it's painful, and I'm working really hard to save the shoulder.
You don't have to cut it, right?
Because what they want to do is injection, or they won't do, I don't think it's ready for surgery, but they would do the steroid injection. I'd rather take natural route of healing. And in the same way with your marriage, Gal, if you have a husband who just justifies pornography and won't stop, first of all, if he's a Christian, you need to maybe together pursue godly counseling, go to your pastor, go to a Christian counselor. If he's not a Christian, I think you still have the right to say, you know what? You have to choose. You could have your pornography or you could have me, but you can't have both. Okay. So
yes, folks, we are talking about pornography right now. We told you, we'll talk about what needs to be talked about. And this is addressed within scriptures under the topic of fornication. Okay. And maybe the guy needs to think of it that way.
Right.
It fits under that topic of either adultery or fornication. And the reason we keep saying guys, because they are the most susceptible to this. Women usually are not addicted to porn or have a porn problem, but you know what? it can happen.
Right.
Okay. So women, this doesn't, you know, take you off the hook if it's you. You have to take care of that. First off, you need to repent before the Lord.
Right.
Okay. You need to repent. It is a sin like any other sin. Okay. For some reason, we like putting a higher, this is a higher sin when we're dealing with sexual ones. I don't know. Maybe because they come at the first of the list. Maybe because they're so prevalent. Maybe because they do so much destruction. But so does lying. So does cheating. So does gossip and all these other things that the Lord calls sin. Okay. We need to get rid of all these things in our lives. None of them are okay to keep. I know in this day and age, it's a horrible thing to think, I am crucified with Christ. But that's how we're supposed to look at our lives, mm-hmm. is we have given up what this flesh wants. We cannot make any opportunity for it. And I will tell you, if you have a porn problem, cut off the access. I know it's everywhere, but if you have to put blocks on your phone and the only sites you can go to are for 12 and under, then you go ahead and do it. If you don't have it within your own strength, which we don't without the Holy Spirit, okay? Go ahead. Block yourself. Block yourself on your, I know it's on your phone, it's on your iPad, it's on your computer. Now it's on your watch. It's everywhere and it is so stinking accessible. But you have to do something because this is sin before the Lord. And this is going to cost you your marriage relationship. It's going to do damage that may never be fixed, okay? You've got to realize this is serious. It's not just, ooh, fun and games, not hurting anybody. It is hurting a lot of people, and it is hurting you and your heart and your relationship with the Lord probably more than anything.
Right. Okay, let me read that last statement again and clarify something. I could kind of see a yeah, but here. It's a... And this is a statement from a paper I wrote years ago on marriage, divorce, remarriage, if you're just joining us. This means that in the case of unrepentant sexual unfaithfulness, the betrayed spouse is free in the eyes of God to initiate a divorce. The unfaithful spouse has broken the marriage vows through adultery. Now, another yeah, but I could see coming is, what do you mean unrepented? What if my husband cheated on me and then he repented? Do I have to stay with him? I would recommend you try to work on that because repentance is a really good sign. I'd say work on that relationship because, like I said, if divorce is like an amputation and I said, my hand was in extreme pain and I had gaping wounds and infections, but now it's gotten better, do I go, well, because it did that to me, I'm going to cut it off. If it's getting better, I want to save the hand. I want to save the leg, the arm, whatever. I think you need to always look at your marriage in that way, that if you could save your marriage, you know what? And we'll talk more about this as I look right ahead here, is that all of these things you go through in life and you get over the humps and you look back on bad times, but now you're in good times, it makes your marriage that much more special, that much more precious, because the trials and the seasons of the hard times you've gone through and survived, and now you've gotten through that and you look back on it and now you're in good times. That's such a good thing. Linda and I have gone, you've heard from us that Linda and I have gone through some really bad times. Some at one point early in our marriage, our closest friends probably voted us most likely to divorce and least likely to succeed. And yet some of them have divorced and we are still together. And so hang in there. Do all you can to save your marriage. Now, I hear the music. That means we have to take a station break right now. We'll be back in just
one
a moment.
Minute.
1 minute. So hang in there. Don't go away.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions on what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. To access the Facebook Live feed, be sure to send a friend request to Linda Bennett Sasso. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. That's 377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now, here's Mike and Linda.
Ha ha, this time I take the phone. Okay, folks, we are back and we are having a really interesting conversation because we are still dealing with the grounds for divorce. Now, one thing that Mike said, and I would like to elaborate on just a little bit, we went through extreme hard times the beginning of our marriage, okay? Now, keep in mind, I was 17,
yes,
and he was 20 when we got married. We were two little kids trying to grow up together. But we did love the Lord, but it was really hard to not walk in the flesh, okay? Especially that young, that immature. But as I look back, those hard times we had gave us strength that we couldn't get any other place. Believe me, we've seen friends around us who had these storybook marriages and they were so happy and they just always had glitter in their eyes at each other and everything was so wonderful. And the first time they had a problem, they didn't know how to handle it. And they ended up in divorce. Like Mike said, we're still going. Believe me, when the Lord turned our marriage around, we were grateful. We were grateful for the good times. We were thankful because we knew what bad times were like. I feel it's almost like somebody who gets cancer and they think they're going to die. And then all of a sudden, the medicine or the Lord cures them and heals them. They are appreciative of every day of life they have after that because they thought it was over. And I think that is part of our strength that we have. We actually went through hard times and we made it, okay? So there's not a lot of things that can rock our boat. We kind of been there, done that, you know, attitude-wise and everything. And it's like we have never cheated on each other. Thank you, Lord, because I don't know if I could be one of those people that could live with it, okay? I'm just being honest with you of knowing me and my heart and how hard a breach of trust is for me, okay? Thank you, Lord, we didn't go there. So we haven't had to deal with what we're talking about here of the adultery, the fornication. So it's what makes us stronger sometimes, making it through that rough time. You make it to the other side, and you make it to the other side because of the Lord. You realize you only made it because of the Lord.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I do want to put in here is we're talking about, but what if they do repent? Let me tell you, there's two kinds of repentance, okay? One is a genuine repentance that they have sinned before God, that they have hurt those that they love, and they don't want to be that way anymore. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to call that true repentance. The other one is a forced repentance. Mm. They are sorry because they got caught. Mm. They aren't sorry for their sin, but they're sorry they got caught. Now, hopefully you will be able to distinguish between the two when we're talking about if somebody has repented, whether if somebody's cheated on you, are they really repentant because of their sin? Or are they repentant because they got caught and now they're having to pay the price? They don't want to pay the price for their sin. If they're repentant because they're sorry for their sin, that one is so worth working on. But if they are only sorry because they got caught and they don't want to pay the price now, you might want to consider that
right.
one.
Right.
And like we've recommended before, don't be the one to go out and initiate a divorce. But I would say, if it's especially they're only sorry they got caught, get out of the house. They don't deserve to have you in that house. Mm. They don't deserve to share a bed with you anymore until they truly feel repentant. And at that point, our recommendation would be legal separation so that if you're taking children with you, you're going to have them cared for. Okay, but don't file for the divorce. Wait and let the offender do that, okay? You'll see just how sorry they really, really are. If they realize, wait a minute, having my little, I'm so sorry, and it doesn't fix it, they may turn around and just say, well, forget you, and they'll divorce. That will free you up, okay? So that's just my recommendation. That doesn't come from the Bible because I don't think it talks about any legal separations there. But you don't need to stay in the house with somebody that is not repentant. It is giving them that choice, me or this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have legal separation or separation, or I mean, they didn't have all the different terms that we have. And of course, we're just talking about gals and guys, protect yourself from, you know, losing everything or losing the kids. There's a lot at stake. So, and thank you, hon, for clarifying the difference between true repentance and false repentance, because that's really important. Because I really believe if you see a man or a woman who has sincere repentance and it's true repentance, you can't help but to say, honey, I love you too. Let's make this work, you know?
Yes.
Because true repentance it's hard to miss, you know? And it really stands out as something like this man's or this woman's heart is broken before God and before man, and now we're ready to move on.
And you want to know one way to distinguish? Who are they sorry for? Are they sorry for themselves? Oh, me. Oh, poor me. That's not a true repentance. Mm. If they are so sorry before the Lord, if they are so sorry they hurt you, then you could be working with genuine repentance. But look for that. If they're just sorry for themselves having to go through this, that's not true repentance.
Okay, now I know many of you are writing in your texting ideas and thoughts and questions, but I'll remind you that we'd love to hear from you. If you want to call in, the number here is area code 208-377-3790. So again, area code 208-377-3790, especially if you have questions about divorce. Maybe you've had a situation that you're troubled over. We'll be glad to talk you through it. Now, I want to read this last line here in this last paragraph I read. It says the unfaithful spouse, talk about somebody who's committed adultery, has broken the marriage vow through adultery. I want to tell you, folks, what adultery does is it voids the contract. What adultery does is it's a breach of the contract. It's a broken covenant. It's not like everything's fine. You know, in everything else in life, if you have a car and you stop making the payments, they'll come and repossess that car from you.
Yes,
okay?
It will.
They'll just go, well, you know, he meant well when he bought it, and so we'll just let him keep the car. In all of these contracts we make in life, in purchases and other things, you break your contract, and it'll cost you. You'll lose
something.
You
signed your name
to
that marriage certificate. It was a contract. You signed it.
And you made a vow, and this was a solemn vow that God took seriously, whether you did or not, before God and men. And so what you need to do is realize that when somebody is unfaithful to the point where they commit adultery, they've broken the covenant, they've broken that contract. And so that's why we feel God even says that divorce is a biblical grounds, a biblical response to that.
Okay, we have another situation being brought up here, and I'm going to basically make this one public because I have heard of this before.
Okay.
Non-Christian. And even down to Christian, got a guy into porn. Now he wants the wife to participate and watch with him.
Yeah, absolutely not.
What? Yeah, right. Deal with this one, baby, please.
Right. No, absolutely not. Because, you know, we've already quoted where Jesus said that it's been said that if you commit adultery, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Then what your husband is, or wife is basically saying is, participate in this fantasy adultery with me. If your spouse is asking you to participate in pornography with you, and I don't, you know, I hear all kinds of lame excuses that it makes things more exciting or whatever. You know what? There's something wrong with you. If the one that you married isn't exciting to be with, you need to get fixed. You know, you need to repent, and you guys need to work on this together. This is wrong. Okay. So if you have a spouse who's into pornography and they're trying to get you into pornography, well, that's just taking it a step further than I was responding to before. If they're just into pornography, you could say to them, you take your choice, pornography or me. You can't have both. I already said that. So if they're asking you to participate, then absolutely not.
No.
It will, you know what? And by the way, even if you go, well, this is my husband and he wants me to look
and
at
I'm
porn
supposed
with
to
him,
submit to him.
Yeah, submission and blah, blah, blah. It will destroy you. You will begin to find it will deteriorate your relationship with the Lord. Hebrews 3:12 says, take care, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. It goes on to say, as your heart is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Just read in the Hebrews 3:12-15. What happens is you begin to participate in sin, drop your guard, just go, well, my husband wants to. And it will weaken you to the point where your walk with the Lord will be damaged greatly through it. And this same principle applies to pornography or drugs or any illegal
drinking
activity.
Any of it, yeah.
You know, he wants to have a drunken party and wants you to participate. Well, we're married. Listen, you need to make sure you understand where God draws the lines in your life and hold your ground. And when you compromise your morals in any of these things, and the list goes on, it damages you. It damages you spiritually. It weakens your morals. It weakens your conscience, and your conscience can be defiled before the Lord. It will cost you spiritually. It will be very damaging.
And it will open up other doors that you swore you would never go through. Okay? Now, one thing that Danielle put is be pleasers of God, not men.
Yeah.
We need to always consider that. And no matter how much people think that porn is going to make things better, no, it doesn't. It kills the intimacy, okay? Danielle just put that down there. It defiles the marriage.
Right.
It opens up doors where you thought you would never, never go. Don't even step through it. Be like Joseph. Run out the window. Take
Did
off.
Did he jump out a window?
The other direction and get out of there, okay? Don't participate in your spouse's sin. Christian woman, that is not submission. That is sin.
Yeah,
and right. It will only take you down a very ugly road.
Right.
It will, if your spouse can do this without guilt, and you're doing this in submission to him, oh, the guilt and the condemnation you're going to carry after that is going to be incredible. Don't go there. Don't go into sin with your spouse, okay? That's one thing we can say. And I know so many times guys will say, well, you're supposed to submit to me and I'm the head of the household. And if I said do this, you do this. No, God comes first. What God tells you comes first. And that's abuse. Get out of the home if you need to. Do the legal separation thing, not the divorce, but get yourself to a safe place where you are not forced to compromise everything that you believe in. So hopefully that's helping somebody
okay,
out there.
Now, you know, we're talking biblically, but let me just give you some practical things to consider if your spouse wants you to participate in pornography. Let's just look at some realistic, practical things. If your husband, for instance, wants you as his wife to participate patent pornography, there is always going to be this comparison going on that you're going to have to live up to what you're seeing taking place on the screen. There's always going to be this this competition. Well, how come, why won't you do this? You just saw this on the screen, and why don't you do that? Or why don't you look like that? Or why don't you live up to what we just... It's going down a rabbit hole you don't want to go down, that it's going to cause all kinds of problems, even aside from the sin aspect, which is should be enough. But I'm just telling you, just practically, rationally, think about where it's going to go. If you won't be able to live up to the images and the actions you're seeing in pornography.
Yeah, and the thing is, women, do you realize that most of these women that you see in these glamour magazines, that's not what they look like. They're airbrushed. It's touched up. They take away the blemishes. They skinny them down. They pump them up in other places they want bigger. That's not the real woman. Very, very few people look like that, okay? And it's not how the average American woman will look. And it's something you will never be able to compete with unless you're willing, like some of our superstars that will have surgery after surgery and surgery. And when they talk, the only thing that moves on their face is a little tiny bit of their lips are able to move, but everything else is frozen solid because they Botoxed it so much or pulled it so tight it can't move anymore. I don't want to live like that. We're to grow old gracefully, okay? Mm. This is the way the Lord planned it. We grow old. We die. Growing old gracefully means we're so looking forward to heaven when these bodies start falling apart and aching so bad, we are so much more willing to go ahead and say, Lord, you can take me home, you know? And guys, I can't get this through to you enough. Those women that you may be watching wouldn't even give you a second look in real life. They would not have a thing to do with you. Why would you have a thing to do with them? Why would you throw your marriage away for some woman that would not even give you a second look if she's seen you on the street?
Yeah, what it comes down to is idolatry. It's idolatry, yeah. Because it's false beliefs,
yeah.
Worshiping an image of unreal. It's worshiping a false god. Really, it's a form of spiritual idolatry, because rather than adoring your wife or your husband and enjoying one another, you're fantasizing and you are worshiping a lie. You are yes. Totally enveloping yourself in a, it's not reality.
You swallowed the poison. Yeah. It's killing you.
Right. So with our remaining time, let's look at a few more statements about divorce in regards to adultery leading to divorce. Number one, keep in mind that restoration of the marriage is still possible if the offending spouse repents and the offended spouse seeks the Lord and finds grace to work on this damaged marriage. Okay, now this is something we encourage. We realize it's not always possible in every case. There are exceptions to every rule. You definitely have grounds for divorce if yes. Your husband or wife has committed adultery. But I think that restoration of the marriage should always be in mind. You should always try to save the marriage. Number two, the offended spouse ought to guard against bitterness and hardness of heart. Forgiveness is also an issue that must be dealt with regardless of whether the marriage ends in divorce or not. I love this point. It's like, I'm glad I already worked through all this years ago, and now we just kind of going back over it. Because even if you have grounds for divorce and you do divorce your spouse, you still got some garbage. You got some baggage, as called luggage. You get some baggage to deal with that you need to realize, I've got poison in my heart. I've got to deal with this, because unforgiveness and bitterness, even if you have a good reason to be bitter, even if you have a real reason to not forgive your spouse, it's destroying you. Remember the old saying that when you refuse to forgive somebody and you hold bitterness against them, it's like taking poison and hoping that they will die. All it does is it poisons you. And so this statement in this outline is important to realize that you've always got to work on your bitterness and unforgiveness, whether you restore the marriage or whether you move on, which, by the way, that brings up another important point. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to stay married, because you could forgive a person. You could deal with the bitterness in your heart. You could get rid of the bitterness. You could forgive a person, but still realize it's over. You've annulled the marriage. You have breached the contract. You have destroyed the covenant of marriage. And I need to move on, but I forgive you, but our marriage is done.
And let me tell you, if you are going to go on and get remarried someday, you need to deal with this and you need to be able to forgive, or you are going to take a wall with you into a new marriage, okay? That new person isn't going to have a chance. Because you're always going to be suspicious. You're always going to be guarding yourself rather than allowing the Lord to guard your heart and protect you and be your defense, okay? So bitterness, I don't care if it's for adultery. I don't care what it's for. We need to not carry bitterness in our hearts. And that's not just marriage. That deals with absolutely everything in our lives. the bitterness will kill us. It will hurt us. And sometimes we harbor unforgiveness for things that have happened, and it's eating us up inside. And the offender has absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you even ask them sometimes with different offenders, oh, I don't even remember that, you know, and here it's just ripping you apart. If you are a victim, you can't let bitterness build up in your heart. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. Jesus says we are to forgive because we've been forgiven. All the things we've done, the Lord's forgiven us. We have to forgive. But sometimes that means you depart and you move on, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah. Forgiveness doesn't mean you save the marriage, because
it doesn't condone it.
No, it's kind of like if I forgive a thief for coming into my house, beating me up and taking my wallet. I might forgive them because I need to forgive for my sake, but that doesn't mean I'm going to let them back in my house. You know, there's offenders who you don't let them get. You know what? In our children's ministry, if we know somebody is a sex offender, they can't get near our children in the church.
We do background checks on everyone that gets into ministry.
That doesn't mean they can't come to church and sit in the pew away from all the children.
Yes.
You know, we can forgive, but we're not going to subject our children to somebody who has done something like that. That's just one example of many of forgiveness, but that doesn't mean you could go back to normal and treat them like everybody else. You could still be divorced, but you still gotta forgive.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we have a comment here. Yoli says that they had many grounds for divorce in their marriage, and yet their marriage was restored in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, Jesus can do that. We've seen it over and over again, how a marriage could be all but gone, and the Lord could step in and intervene and save that marriage.
Yes.
Okay.
Love you, Yoli. Miss you too. Gosh.
All right.
It's precious.
Let's continue reading here. Now, point D, is that a point? Divorce, yeah, D for divorce. Divorce initiated and carried out by an unbelieving spouse also releases a believer from the obligation of the marriage vow. A believer is commanded not to depart from or to divorce an unbelieving spouse. Let me read that again. A believer is commanded. If you're a believer, you're commanded not to depart from or divorce your unbelieving spouse if the unbeliever is willing to stay with the believer. But if the unbeliever departs or divorces the believer is free from the marriage commitment. Okay, now I want to read that text because this is hotly debated. There are people who say that, okay, if the unbeliever leaves, you're divorced, there's nothing you could do about it, but you could never remarry. Your life is stuck. That's the person you married to. Well, I believe the text clearly is saying you're not bound to that person anymore, meaning you are not obligated to that marriage vow anymore. It's over. Let me find it in, let's read it from the New Living because it puts it really, really clear.
What scripture are you at, honey?
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 through 15. But to those who are married, this is Paul writing, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband. Okay, first of all, it's interesting how there's times Paul did say, this is my opinion as a man of God. I'm just giving you my opinion. But here he's saying, this is from the Lord. This is God's statement on marriage, that you, wife, you shouldn't leave your husband. If she does leave, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. That means, Christian lady, if you leave your husband, you might have all kinds of reasons to leave. We've already talked about this several times. You may be in danger. You may be abused. Your kids may be in danger. There's all kinds of reasons to get out of the house. But if you get out of the house, that doesn't mean now you have the right to divorce, okay? Because Paul says, if you do leave him, then remain single or else be reconciled to him. And then it says the husband must not leave the wife. It goes both ways, okay? Now, he says, I speak to the rest of you, though. I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a Christian man, and here's where he's saying this is kind of godly wisdom, if a Christian man has a wife who's not a believer and she's willing to continue with him, he must not leave her. So Paul is saying, look, you were married, now you're, you know, when as unbelievers you got married, and now you get saved. Don't leave your You know, don't leave your wife now that she's not saved and you are. Or even, I would say, even if you made the mistake of marrying somebody who's not a Christian while you were a Christian, you stick to that vow. He's saying, don't leave her. And then he says, and if a Christian, oh man, I just, my page just jumped. If a Christian woman has a husband who's not a believer and he's willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. Okay, so God is saying, you're married, by all means, make this marriage work and don't abandon. For the Christian wife brings holiness to the marriage, and the Christian husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are holy. And if a husband, I'm reading verse 15 now, if a husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the Christian husband or wife is no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace. Okay, now, I'm reading the New Living, but I think there's a word bondage in another translation, meaning the commitment of marriage. You're free from that commitment of marriage. And so that releases you to be single again. Okay, now, I hope that's clear. I know there's people of different views on that. And I'm just going to move on to the next point in our outline. When divorce is clearly acceptable in the sight of God.
Thank you.
When divorce is clearly unacceptable in the sight of God. And I have a feeling we won't be able to talk all this through because the seconds are ticking away. But let me just read it. The most commonly used grounds for divorce today are clearly unbiblical, and they include, and not limited to, ... Guess what? There's the music. I'm going to stop right there. You're going to have to hold your breath till next week. Folks, this is Friday. Go to church this weekend, and hopefully, if you're looking for a good church, we welcome you to Calvary Chapel Eagle. But other than that, we're just going to continue this series in the future. I don't know, the middle of next week. Anyway, time's up. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus. Look forward.